Welcome to the Vixen's Vault. Today is Sunday, August the 16th, 2015. I am your hostess, the Wiccan Vixen. I'd like to welcome you all to the show. Tonight's show, as you guys know, I think I told you last week, I was going to go more into the conspiracy side of things than I normally do. Although the show is pretty much, it runs the gamut when it comes to genre. I'm all over the place and I am not shy about it. I decided to do a show tonight that specifically went into a couple different things that bother me greatly. And when I say that, I mean it irks me. And I say that with a strong resolution, because usually if something irks me, it's because something's seriously wrong. But with that, I'm going to introduce you all to my guest this evening and my co-host. Tonight I have Rafael Martinez with me co-hosting. For those of you who do not know him, Rafael is actually engaged to me, but he's also a person that I like to lean on when it comes to whether or not I'm letting my brain go too far. I have a tendency to do that. I'm a major research addict, and I tend to make connections to a lot of things, and he sometimes is my censoring agent. He kind of reins me back in. But there again, he's also the fuel to my fire at other times, where he knows I'm dead on, and he'll encourage that part of me, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. We'll find out by the end of the show. My other guest this evening is Dr. Charles Weston out of South Carolina. Dr. Weston and I have become friends over the last several weeks. We both did a radio show together, believe it or not, that started, I think it was in regards to dreams, wasn't it, Dr. Weston?
Yes, I believe you're correct.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a show on dreams. And we are getting a bad feedback. Rocky. Is that better? There we go. Sorry about that.
That seems better.
Yeah, it seems much better. It was a show on dreams, but because of a dream I had had, it struck a chord with Dr. Weston, and it produced a conversation. I think it was after the second show. We talked for about 3 hours on the phone after that show.
Right. Yes.
And it was, I think it was because I was, one of the questions was, what was one of the things that worries me as a prophetic dreamer, as a person who has a sense of things that are coming, what bothers me? And I think my first answer was the unexplained deaths of the holistic physicians. That was up in the news at that point in time. It bothered me greatly because there was a tremendous amount of connection I could see between these doctors. And it was something that I didn't realize at the time, but it hit very close to your heart, which I find really interesting. Go ahead. I'm going to let you take the reins here for a few minutes. I want you to explain to everybody what you do, who you are, and why this hits you as unusual. And I'm going to censor that just a little bit by telling you I read an article that was recently posted by Snopes that was trying to debunk the correlation between these doctors. And let me tell you, we'll talk after you introduce yourself, but I got to tell you, I almost had a nosebleed after reading it.
Wow. Well, I'll look forward to reading it myself. My name is Dr. Chuck Weston. I go by, typically, they call me Charles, too. I've been a chiropractor for 28, 29 years. I have practiced in Florida and South Carolina. My pet peeves of interest are immune system issues, dealing with helping patients try to combat many of the autoimmune and digestive problems that they have, which for those of you that are somewhat familiar with chiropractic care and understanding that it produces significant influence on the nervous system, thus the immune system, et cetera. One of the famous quotes for chiropractic is, the power to create the body has the power to heal the body. And when you combine the efforts of chiropractic care with appropriate nutrition, hydration, exercise, sleep, et cetera, you can take people to a much better place of optimum health and functioning. So I spent a good part of my career doing that. My couple of pet peeve areas are trying to help people with cancer issues. And when I was in Florida practicing, as I had discussed with you, Nancy, the autism issue became very prevalent during that period of time. I was in my main stay in Florida was from 1996 to 2004. And when you practice in a certain geographic region or period of time, whatever type of healthcare discipline you're in, you tend to run across what seems to be more of the prevailing types of diseases that people will run into. And being in Florida, obviously dealing with somewhat of an elderly type of population or geriatric type population in many of the towns in Florida, you will end up obviously seeing a lot more cancer. One of the other things that I saw while I was in Vero Beach, Florida, was a lot of autism that happened during that period of time. And so autism being something that was really just coming into its own at that time and trying to figure out why these problems were happening, what the connections were, obviously chiropractic care and some appropriate nutritional advice could be very helpful for children suffering from autism. Little did I know that clearly there were some other clinicians who were working on those same topics who were some of these people who had now had their lives shortened, which is a terribly sad experience. And now there are a lot of people who are now looking for other physicians that maybe can pick up where they left off. I don't know how that's going to play out. I'm sure there's a lot of concern amongst the rest of the folks that were involved with a lot of their work, and obviously have been trying to get some of that information out there in order to really protect themselves from hopefully not running into the same demise that some of these people apparently have due to what they knew, due to what they were seeing clinically with how their patients were responding, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, yeah, it was kind of an interesting connection there that was a story that you had brought up and that I had just been starting to learn more about and getting some other questions answered by a few people that may be able to help point us in the right direction there on getting more answers. But that initial common thread that didn't sit well with me, as I had mentioned in the other interview, was the fact that, you know, three or four of these people had been rated by the FDA within a week or two of their demise. Right. And so clearly I knew immediately when I saw that in some of those early articles that came out, then, you know, they were being witch hunted. You know, they were being chased down by, you know, one of those three alphabet lettered names in the government because they were doing something that they felt they shouldn't be doing. And of course, in reality, what they were trying to do was help children who were autistic and help other people fight cancers in other ways. So,
what was the name of the derivative they were working on? There was a specific a name to it. I want to say it was GC something. I mean, I remember.
Yeah, it's a, and I don't have it right off the top of my head either. It's an enzyme that stimulates macrophage activity in the body, which is a part of your white blood cell system, and it's the trash disposal of your white blood cell system. The macrophages are stimulated. They're the ones that go out and capture the bad guy that's not supposed to be there and destroy it and carry it out of the body. And due to the connections that these people were making was that nagalase, which apparently becomes a active protein disruptor in the DNA of people that have had too many vaccines and other types of things that can drive the nagalase into your system, it blocks this from happening. And so if you have too much nagalase floating around your system, it's not going to allow this proper activation of the white blood cell macrophages to do their job. So a part of the work that these people now is starting to become more public now is the ones that have the information are trying to get it out there. Apparently that was the big connection that they had. They figured out if we can block the nagalase and therefore allow for the stimulation via different enzyme type nutritional products that they were using to stimulate the white blood cells to do their job, we were obviously all of a sudden seeing some pretty amazing results, which I personally have been communicated to about some of these children that were treated by the original fella who was the first one to put this story on the map, Dr. Bradstreet. And apparently he had directly treated a couple of children directly related to a friend of mine down in Florida, and had cured the one kid of autism, and the other child was about 80% improved. So they had some pretty awesome results going on. And now obviously they've suffered some undue consequences because of that.
I gotta tell you, I if you're hearing strange sounds, I think it's because my co-host is trying to co-check whether or not he's on the air with us. I'm sitting going, oh dear God, what is he doing? I can hear everything. Hotmail, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay, you need to back.
Hey, Raphael, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you tonight, Doc?
Good, doing good, buddy.
Okay, so
you sound crystal clear on my end. I can hear you good.
Well, that's good. That's good.
There he goes. Now he's really clear. That's much better. I was going to say, you need to back away from the microphone just a little bit. Okay.
Well,
now,
you don't like this.
Yeah, no, I don't. All right. You missed the first kind of part of the conversation where the doctor, he was just now actually explaining what work specifically these doctors were involved in, or at least Dr. Bradstreet. We know Dr. Bradstreet was involved in this. I'm not sure about the others. I know they had, I believe they were working, weren't they getting ready to release a paper on this?
They were. That's my understanding. They had apparently compiled roughly close to 2,000 case studies. I think it was is the number I saw released, or at least 1,000 to 1,100 anyway. And the reality was that yes, they were getting close to actually having the big drop on the media to put this information out. Obviously, unfortunately, they waited a little too long. Had they just got ahead and gotten the information out there sooner, they all still might be here today. So,
well, the question is, I guess, do you think the information will ever come out, or do you think this is going to hinder the other holistic physicians that might have thought about, I mean, because honestly, if you really think about it, obviously you and I have thought about it, as has Raphael, but if people would just put this into context, what we're basically saying is that there's not necessarily a cure for cancer, but it sounds to me what they were working on was a heavy duty preventative, if not a means to try to reverse, not just cancer, but I believe it worked with autism also, which are two huge issues right now, health-wise.
Well, it reminds me of, a lot of different experiences in the past where alternative thinking medical doctors, have been harassed and witch hunted and all kinds of things. You can go back to the 60s and 70s, and a lot of people will remember all the Laetrile doctors, the B17, B15, the missing B vitamins that nobody ever talks about. They tried to take these guys' license from them. They tried to shut them down. They tried to get the FDA to persecute them. All kinds of things that happened back in those days. And then, of course, it eventually did become an underground system, a black market, if you will, whatever, of people getting treatment. Many people would go out of the country to get treatment. This reminds me a lot of that kind of discussion about, why would this happen? Well, obviously, it's happening because of the pharmaceutical industry being impinged upon, in its ability to generate profits.
I was going to say, that's the only reason, though? I mean, we're doing the show on the conspiracies, so I'm going to jump right the hell into the rabbit hole. I really don't care if people like it or not. to be honest with you, do you think it's just the pharmaceutical industry, or do you think it's the political arm wrestle along with the pharmaceutical industry? What they need, basically, it's a mutual handshake. You know, the pharmaceutical industry needs the money. Politics have to handshake with them.
Or if you take it even further, maybe it interrupts the eugenics program.
Wow. He took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, if we're going to get down to the brass tacks of it, yeah, you're talking about worldwide efforts by the system to cull the population. You know, they've been trying to explain to us for a long time now that there's too many of us on this planet. And so one of the tools that clearly they had intended to use with that is the petroleum-based pharmaceutical industry, which then also includes the aspects of the vaccines, which is why the vaccine issue is on the top of the list now of trying to create a medical tyranny in this country so that you will no longer have the right to choose and to abstain from the vaccines, not only as an adult, but as a child. So clearly the amount of data confirming all of the negative effects and concerns and the, you know, the vaccine injury victim compensation fund and all of these other things that exist that unfortunately way too many people do know a lot more about today, because when you've ended up with a vaccine injured child, that is the only way that you're going to get any relief, because essentially the pharmaceutical industry has become indemnified and immune to any type of retaliation via lawsuits, et cetera. And they've just continued to secure that down the line, so that essentially if your kid gets injured or you have a problem with a vaccine or whatever, tough luck. You're basically trying to sue the government.
About the vaccine court.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah. The vaccine injury court fund, et cetera, which in some cases obviously does eventually create some type of compensation for these families. But, you know, the lives that have been destroyed via their, crazy and bizarre efforts to supposedly try to eradicate everything on the planet via a vaccine, and clearly it hasn't worked. And boy, they love to argue it tooth and nail, though. But one of my great stories about that issue is the story about Dr. Jaffe. And, you know, that's a powerful story to understand. When they decided that they were going to try to up the ante on the vaccines around 1988-89, there was a big push and a big undercurrent of that they were trying to essentially buy off all the agencies that would have a say in them promoting a schedule of vaccines going from 0 to 5 shots, from age 0 to 6, to upwards of like 32 was the initial move. It went to like 32 shots in the first 6 years of a child's life. And they wanted to begin implementing that around 1990. And so they tried to get it all okayed that they would get the pass from all the organizations that needed to give it a pass. One of those organizations was the National Institute of Health, and Dr. Jaffe was the president of it after having spent quite a career as an immunologist and epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins. And when they came to him and said, this is what we're going to do, he looked at him and said, you're crazy. You know, there's no justification for that, to do that, besides the fact that you're going to run the risk of damaging a lot of children. Well, yeah, that's exactly the plan, Doc. So, by the way, since you're not going to go along with the program, we're just going to have you resign. And that's what happened. And they forced him out. And he got very angry about it. And he decided to go around the country and lecture on it. And so he came and lectured in Greenville, South Carolina in 1990 or 91. And I got to go listen to him to a packed house, 300-plus doctors, most of them medical doctors. And then about 100 chiropractors were there. I was one of them. And, you know, he he laid it all out. He said, you know, they don't have any proof of their efficacy to do this. And their insult on the immune system by putting all of these toxins into a child is only going to create havoc. Well, literally what Dr. Jaffe was explaining to all of us sitting in the room that day is that you're going to have neurological problems develop in these kids. And that is what they ultimately labeled as autism. And now we've watched go from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 50 kids now that are becoming autistic.
I was going to say it absolutely exploded. Yeah. You're right. And it started in the 90s because it was correct. Right after I got my kids vaccinated that we started seeing a huge jump in numbers. And in fact, I even have a member of my family. My cousin's child was diagnosed with autism. And the funny thing is that they're not born that way. And that's what I keep trying to smack into people. I'm like, you know, this child was normal at birth. It wasn't until after he started receiving his vaccinations that she started noticing he wasn't making eye contact normally. He wasn't absorbing things normally. Literally, and it scared the heck out of her because, I mean, we have no history of mental anything in the family. So it was...
I dispute that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to.
I dispute that.
And I can hear you eating your peppermint.
One of the things too about this as well is that Raphael referred to, you know, the eugenics program, et cetera. You know, well, that also then ties into all the, you know, mapping of the human genome and all of this biotechnology stuff to deal with genetics, et cetera, because they want to label everything as a genetic issue. And the reality is that it's an immune system suppression and deficiency problem that creates 98% of the things that people get sick from. So, and for example, like when you look at cancer is a nutritional deficiency disease that ultimately is stimulated and allowed to take place in a person's body because of poor nutrition and the lack of their immune system functioning and working properly. They don't want to talk about that, okay? They want to explain to you that it's a bad gene that you have, okay, and all of that kind of stuff. And then that ties in, Raphael, with the issue of the, you know, they want to live forever, and we're going to, you know, they're going to blend themselves in with the machines one day, okay?
Yeah.
And all of that kind of stuff. It's out there. And look, I am no expert, you know, on a lot of these things. I know a lot about a little bit of everything. But I do know that this is a part of their plan.
There's a YouTube video out there. Bill Gates did a TED Talk once upon a time where he's talking about how if we do a good enough jobs with vaccines and whatever else, we can get this population number down. Well, if vaccines are supposed to help people, shouldn't that number go up?
Right. He let the cat out of the bag. It was a little bit of a Freudian slip there for him.
Yes, it was.
No, buddy, it's okay. Just on that note, you know, think about what happened in India when the Bill Gates people did all those polio vaccinations, and next thing you know, we got 60,000 kids in India with polio.
Not just India. Yeah. More recently, we had Mexico. We had almost an entire town that were vaccinated for measles that died. Almost every child that was vaccinated died from that vaccination. Before that, we had the vaccine courts in Europe, which settled for a ridiculous amount of money because the Europeans were suing for their children who had been damaged by the vaccinations. The only people that don't seem to understand that there's a problem with the vaccines are us. It's really, you know, the United States, we're so pounded in to believing that our government wants to do what's best for us, that our health care is, you know, it's what's best for us, and that they would only want to give us these vaccines if it was going to help keep us healthy. And I think it started that way. I don't think the vaccination started to cause what they've caused. I mean, I don't believe that the vaccine for polio was brought about to cause injury. I believe it was brought about to cause, you know, a betterment of life.
But correct. I would agree with that. Absolutely.
But I also believe that they found that they could control through those vaccinations. They control who goes to school. They control who gets different things, what jobs you have. If you don't have vaccinations, you can't work certain jobs. And that's been that way for quite a while. And not only that, but they've also discovered, like, our food, what you put in our body really, really, really does affect us. And I keep telling
people. Yeah, oh boy, that's a whole other, that's a whole other can of worms there when you get talking about the negative effects on the digestive system because of the toxicity of the food and the water. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, and of course, and when you think about it in basic medical terms of understanding how the body operates, the number one protective component of your immune system is your digestive tract. That's an interesting twist that a lot of people don't think about.
Yeah.
When people think about their immune system failing them, you know, I got pneumonia, I got a terrible cold, whatever it is that happened, they do not typically think about the fact that their first stage of defense in the body is the digestive tract. So it makes it
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doc.
Finish. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the vaccines bypass the system, just like the even your lungs when you inhale stuff, that they throw out aerosol chemicals or drugs in the air. You're going to breathe that in. It's going to totally bypass the intestinal tract. And there's actually been some speculation that the chemtrails are actually experimentation with chemical social engineering. There was actually a YouTube video that came out on it, said there's actually a Pentagon briefing where they're talking about how they can vaccinate religious extremism out of the brain, and they were specifically talking about the Middle East. But I mean, you start going down that road, how long does it take for them to chemically engineer you to become an obedient vegetable, especially with mandatory vaccination?
How do you know that they're not behind religious extremism to begin with?
I'm not arguing with that. I absolutely believe they are. I mean, this whole Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call it, they keep rebranding it. Whatever you want to call it, they created it so they can turn. You know, they could stir up the Middle East and try to get their troops in the door to topple Assad. But that has, you know, again, now we're going off into another tangent. But we create the terrorism so that we can then, or our government can then, strip us of our freedoms with a bunch of willing sheeple that are, you know, left in fear. It's called a strategy of tension. They keep them in fear so they can continually keep consolidating power at the top. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
the people keep falling for it.
Makes sense. Yeah, they do. They do. They're more aware than ever. I mean, what's his name there? One of the chief advisors to Obama and many other presidents was, the fellow Brzezinski.
Zygmunt Brzezinski. 2008, great global awakening, political awakening.
Correct. You've seen that quote, right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
So, and in other words, part of what he was saying there, that, you know, he was saying that it used to be a lot easier to try and keep control over, you know, a million people. Now it's going to be a lot easier just to kill them. Than trying to keep control over them.
Yeah, that was the quote. It was easier to control a million people than to kill them. Now it's easier to kill them than control them.
That's right. Yeah. So you have a lot of components here that are coming together all at once, and the fact that simply one of the descriptions I give to many of my patients and folks that I may be talking to about things, and they're obviously realizing more and more that this acceleration to some type of another event, whether it's another 9/11 event, if it's a global economic collapse, whatever it's going to be. Maybe it's going to be a combo of multiple things. All right. The fact of the matter is that the, you know, that somebody's taken a 2x4.
I have a theory on
that. They've nailed the accelerator to the floor in the bus. Okay. And the bus is being driven to the cliff and we're all in the bus. So yeah. The reality is that as all of these things keep coming to a head, they keep moving now at light speed, trying to get everything accomplished to be able to have as much, you know, tyrannical police state efforts to be able to do what they're going to do when the collapse comes and whatever forms that's going to take. And a lot of people, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever, they thought I was crazy. Now they come to me and they say, you know what, Doc, I used to think you were a nut job, and I know you're not. And I'm like, hey, well, thank you. You know, thanks for paying attention. Thanks for listening. Thanks for doing some homework on your own. Okay. I showed you where the water was. I can't make you drink. So now that you've drunk some of the water and you're starting to put these pieces together, well, now it's time to stand up. You know, it's time to stand up and be accounted for. And a lot of people are doing it. Is it too late? I don't know.
I have a reading list for the listeners out there.
Hold on. Before you go into
go
that,
ahead.
I got to cut out to a break real quick. I'm going to let
Damn
you go.
Okay. I'm going to mute you for a second, and I'm going to go ahead and take myself outside so I can stop yelling in my buddy's ear.
Gotcha. All right, guys.
Okay.
Hang in there.
I'll be on in a minute.
All right. Hang in there. We're going to cut it out to break for just a minute or two. When we come back, you're going to hear Raphael's reading list. And trust me, I got to hear this all the time. So now you have to suffer. Hang on. We will be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, Go nuts, buddy.
Oh, pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Oh, thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Are you looking for a really awesome and amazing graphic designer? How about an illustrator or a photographer? This is Rainey Roberts, and I wanted to tell you how you can get my designer, illustrator husband, Scotty Roberts, to work for you on your project. Do you have an awesome self-published book but no cover, or even worse, a cover that really sucks? Do you need a kick-ass logo for your company or some f***ing awesome graphic designs for your ads or website? Then get in touch with my husband for the best f***ing awesome kick-ass design and illustration. He knows his stuff, and he's been at this for more years than I've been alive. Go to ScottAllenRoberts.com. That's Scott with two T's, AllenRoberts.com to take a look at his online portfolio of work or call 651-468-8115. Now go out and kick some ass with some kick-ass graphic design.
Hire my dad so he can take me to Disneyland.
Night.
8:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to welcome back to the Vixen's Vault. I am your host, The Wicked Vixen. We are on the IPBN-FM.com radio network. Okay, guys, welcome back. My guest this evening is Dr. Charles Weston, and I have my co-host, Rafael Martinez, with me this evening. And during the break, I was discussing the conspiracy of the peppermint, which is what's been bothering me through this whole radio show while we've been on the air. I can guess. You hear that? No. That is not my producer, Rocky, doing some kind of sexy sound effect to throw me off. No! That is my co-host who is eating peppermints. And I knew it! I'm like, oh my gosh, he's eating peppermint. I'm going to kill him. But without further ado, I've gotten that out of my system. Okay, I'm feeling a little bit better. Welcome back to the show, gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and start off where we left off. Rafael, you were getting ready to give your reading list. Go for it.
Yes, reading list. Okay, so you got to start with Zygmunt Brzezinski's The Great Chessboard, or The Grand Chessboard. And then you need to pick up Rockefeller's memoirs. Then you also have to pick up... Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World, George Orwell's 1984, and Carol Quigley's Hope and Tragedy. And within these books, you see the playbook. If you merge all these books together, you see the playbook for the what I'm going to call them, the globalists, the global elites, whatever you want to call them. But you're seeing elements of all of these books being brought together to change our world in a radical way, where power is centralized at the top in one world government, where they do not represent us. They basically we live at their whim. Within Hope and Tragedy, they talk about how they would consolidate global government through the banking cartels, through the debt, which was exactly what we're seeing. You're looking at Greece, who couldn't afford the debt they had, and now being loaded down with more debt, only they've had to give up $50 billion worth of assets, like airports, seaports, natural gas fields, in order to get that. Basically, it's an extension. So, I mean, they're just dragging out their demise, and their president sold them out. That is all our countries. I mean, the United States is no different. We're going to be in even worse position when the petrodollar status collapses. And that's where the Iran deal came into play. It's basically keeping the U.S. dollar on life support from losing its status as a global reserve currency. And as far as the 1984, I mean, that's obvious. We got the police state, the surveillance state, and we got the brainwashing of the masses, war is peace, and so on and so forth. And then you have Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World, which is the least known of them all. And then that one, Aldous Huxley talks about how in the future they break down the family unit. They will, you know, basically it's they'll test you, they'll categorize you. You'll be a number from 1 to 6 or 1 to 9, and depending on where you're at in that system, you'll be placed in certain jobs based on your intelligence, your looks, your genetics, and all that other stuff. And they keep people content in their enslavement with this drug called Somex. It's a fictional drug, but when you start talking about mandatory vaccinations, and then you connect that with the Pentagon briefing, where they're talking about they're able to now vaccinate religious extremism out of the brain, it's only a matter of time before they start using that chemical social engineering.
Well, how do you know they already haven't? I mean, look at what fluoride was used for during World War II. I keep reminding people that.
Absolutely.
Fluoride was used in the concentration camps, and it was used to basically keep a dopamine at that point in time. It was used to keep them calmer, more easily controlled.
That's right. Yes. Yes, it subdued them. That's
yes,
right.
And now we have it in our drinking water. So let's yes. really think about it.
Hey, that. I will let me if you don't mind, Raphael, let me add a couple of things, okay? The book that began my educational process into the understanding that I have now have come to today, was the culmination of about 45 years or so of research by a man who's known to be kind of the truth teller in this world of this information. And his name is G. Edward Griffin out of California. And I've been connected to G. Edward Griffin since about 1995. He put a book out in 1994 called The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve System. And one of the reasons why that book was so critical for me and for anybody else to get their mind wrapped around why we are where we are is because you have to understand the money. If you can understand the money, then it makes everything else a whole lot easier to understand. Okay. And so anyway, for example, I've actually met the man in person a couple of times, and my profile picture on Facebook is actually me standing next to this old man with a beard. That is Mr. Griffin. Okay. I actually have that book, actually his two books, sitting on my desk at my office in my little reception area on the other side of my flat screen monitor. And there's The Creature from Jekyll Island. And the other book is called A World Without Cancer, okay, which discusses the B-17, B-15 issue. And it also explains to you in great detail how the whole aspect of, you know, chemicals and petroleum-based products and et cetera, and how it was merged together by all these large corporations back between 1910 and the late 1930s, it was all done. They had all wrapped it all up. And guess who your number one enemy was in that list of things? The very large German conglomerate called IG Farben.
Bear aspirin, who were the people?
Yes, the bear aspirin folks and stuff, right? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it's an incredible read. And I, you know, and for those that have never read it, I spent 2 years after I read it in 1995 trying to disprove the man on dial-up internet. It took me forever. But every time I'd read more articles and read other things trying to disprove some of the things that he said in the book, I couldn't do it. And then I actually took the opportunity to ask a patient of mine down there in Vero Beach, Florida, extremely wealthy woman. She was from Illinois, but she lived most of the time down in Vero Beach, Florida, on the beach. And I asked her about it one day. And I said, is the Federal Reserve really not a part of the government at all, and it's just tied to, you know, a bunch of elite families, both American and European and et cetera? And she looked at me and she said, wow, nobody's asked me that question in a long time. She was about 75 at the time. This was 20 years ago. And she said, well, yeah, that's exactly the case. And then I got the real answer, too, which was, and she said, and you know, for people like me, we're just pissed off that we can't get in on it. And I looked at her and I said, well, thank you for being so candid. I said, yes, I understand what you're saying, too, because if you have the power to create money out of thin air and charge people and governments and anybody else who's borrowed this money that you created out of thin air a large amount of interest for it, wow, that would be one heck of a business to be in, wouldn't it?
Well, that or create the crops. I mean, here, this again, it all wraps together. And here's the other thing, too. You know, you, Raphael mentioned a book about how the idea was to break apart the family, and there was a certain methodology, blah, 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 that would go into play. And if you think about it, it's something I've said to Raphael multiple times. A lot of our problems started. We had FDR with the New Deal, which I like to call the screw deal, because it actually was a screw deal. It moved right into World War II. And what people don't realize is with World War II, we're suddenly involved in this gigantic war. All of our young men and our middle-aged men also, they were taking men from all walks of life at that point, were getting thrown overseas to fight this war. And there was nobody back home to actually do the work to produce the machines that we need for the war. So the women came out of the house and began to work in the workplace, but they never went back. They never went back home. That was the beginning of the end of the family unit in a lot of ways. People hate it when I say that. Women get really angry when I say that. But I'm like, listen, you may not like it, but it's true. That was the beginning of the end of the full family unit, when the women went out to work and suddenly the kids were kind of left in this position of they have nobody at home. So now you have daycare centers that come into play. Oh, that's just terrific. So now we're sending our kids to strangers to be raised. And now we're in a position where most kids are raised in daycares. God, even when my kids were born, which my first one was 91, having your kid in daycare wasn't, I think maybe about 50 or 60% of the parents had their kids in daycares at that point. It's now, I would say 90 to 95% have their kids in daycare. I mean, yeah.
It was a multi-purposed event. You know, not only did it begin the process of destroying the family and destroying the home unit, and obviously causing eventual problems with children who would then become adults and on and perpetuate that cycle. The other side to that, which is one of the ones that a lot of people never quite exactly think about, is it served the purpose of doubling the tax collection.
The ducks, yep. It sure did.
Okay. Yep.
Sure did.
Because that's the part of the picture that most people don't understand. Because you've been lied to, you've been deceived, okay? And all of this money that's paid in taxes, that quote unquote is supposed to be, you think, going into your government to pay for services that you receive from the government, is indeed not happening. It is going directly to the bankers, the cabal.
Yes, Ronald Reagan had one of his guys do a study on that, and the guy came back and said not one red cent goes to the public benefits.
It goes entirely
to pay for the debt to the central banks.
Yeah, it's interest payments only.
We're past the point of no return, and people don't understand that. People need to watch. There's a video series on YouTube called "Hidden Secrets of Money" by Mike Maloney. Yep. It's a 5-part series. Yep. You guys got to get on that. You guys got to really understand what's going on. You need to get on that, and you'll understand the reason why we've been in perpetual war since the 1970s is because our money is not backed by anything other than the threat of violence if you don't sell your oil for U.S. dollars.
Since the 1970s.
Right.
Since the 1800s, we've been in perpetual war.
Well, I'm talking about U.S. history, yes.
I mean, literally, I think they said it's been the last 150 years. We haven't gone more than, like, I think they said the longest span was like 3, maybe 4 years where we have not been involved
crazy.
In a conflict or a war.
It's crazy. It's staggering. It's staggering how much war has been involved. I was actually having this conversation today with my very long ride that has actually got me now in the home state of Rand Paul, one of the only guys that probably should have an opportunity to maybe become president. But anyway, we were having this discussion, and there's another one of the works of discovery and through research that G. Edward Griffin came up with was a very obscure, unknown document that was called the Reif Commission Report. And it was an inquiry and an actual investigation that got underway in the early 1950s, 51 or 52. It was headed up by a guy by the name of Norman Dodd. And he was the chief investigator for the government, for Congress, and he hired a whole bunch of crack attorneys who were coming right out of the best law schools in America and put them to work. And their job was to go to the headquarters of every major tax-exempt foundation in America, and they were to investigate their minutes, their missions, what they're doing with their money, because the American people deserve to know, since in part, they are being subsidized by the American taxpayer. What he came to find out of that was a very, very scary thing. And actually, one of his attorneys, a female, actually had a mental breakdown because of the information that she discovered when she was investigating at the Carnegie Foundation. And this is going to tie right back into what you were talking about the perpetual wars. As she was reading through the early minutes of 1908, 1909, 1910, 1911, it had a common theme to it as the board members of the Carnegie Foundation would get together and discuss what they were going to do to change America. And they finally came to the conclusion that the only way to change America was to involve her in war. And by doing so, you will bring change to America. The other thing that he found out through all the other investigations, and I'll tell you the story about when he went, and he went to the Ford Foundation. And I have a lot of mixed issues with Ford because Ford knew a lot about what was really going on and what the problems were. I think he kind of got co-opted and a little harassed toward the end. I think he actually may have even tried to take his life if he didn't shut up in the late 20s. But anyway, the Ford Foundation, this fellow Norman Dodd, went to interview that president of the Ford Foundation himself. And so he walked into the guy's office, and the president of the Ford Foundation says, "I know who you are, Mr. Dodd. We've got nothing to hide here. We will show you whatever the documents are that you need to see. But I will tell you that we follow a directive based on what our board members are wanting to do with the monies that we spend here at the Ford Foundation. And I will tell you that as of right now, what we are focused on and what we are spending our money on doing is trying to change America to be more like the Soviet Union." And so Mr. Dodd, who is being interviewed in 1982 in a video that you can probably pull up on YouTube, where G. Edward Griffin interviewed him 5 years before he died, the year I graduated from high school, 1982, Norman Dodd looking in the camera, and he says, "After I picked myself up off the floor, I looked at this man and I said, 'Sir, do you not think that the American people who are subsidizing the function of your tax-exempt foundation should know that that's what you're doing with the money here at the Ford Foundation?' And he looked right at him and he said, 'Why, no, Mr. Dodd, we wouldn't want them to know that at all.' Here's the catch. The 3,500-page document called the Reese Commission Report was never read aloud in Congress, and they went around and bought them all up so that nobody would ever read them to see the truth about what all of these tax-exempt foundations were doing. And just to give you kind of an example, these are the types of tax-exempt foundations that are just like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation today."
Yes. There's a lot of nonprofits that are being used for foreign policy. Go ahead, Nance. Go ahead.
We gotta kind of start wrapping it up. It's only 4 minutes till, and Rocky's got his show coming on after me.
Okay. All right.
I know. I hated doing that, but we gotta have Dr. Weston on again because there's, like I said, I wanted to get into how, you know, basically these different vaccinations, the different foods we're eating, the crappy water we're drinking. How if that gobs up your system, it can cause, you know, I wanted to wrap it somewhat into the paranormal at some point because it does cause you to have issues chemically in your brain. It causes you to have a lot of issues, actually.
Yes.
But
well,
the fluoride
attracted to your pituitary gland, which then messed up your master thyroid gland and on and on and on. So look, I love this. I enjoy this very much. And, you know, hopefully the listeners will get a chance to do some more homework themselves on some of these topics. It may be that we're preaching to the choir with some folks, but those that we're not preaching to the choir to, hopefully they will take it upon themselves to do a little more research while you got time to.
Are you kidding me? My producer's been sitting here taking notes the whole time. Like I'm reading my Skype thing, laughing at him because he's like,
"Hidden Secrets of Money."
Yeah, what was the name of that again? Okay, is that what that was called? So, yeah, I mean...
Hey, one other quick plug, too. You know, you were talking about the aerosoling and the chemtrailing stuff. That guy, Dr. Wigington is his name, and it's geoengineeringwatch.org.
There's tremendous
information on that website, okay? And some incredible lectures that doctor has done.
And if we can get you on again sometime, I'd like to talk about CBD and alternative medicine, if you're up for that.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely, we'll do it.
Outstanding.
We'll do it. Had a great time, guys.
Thank you.
I am going to wrap it up, everybody, so I can get out of here and Rocky can get his show rocking and rolling. Again, thank you for listening to the Vixen's Vault this week on the IPBN-FM.com radio network, Intrepid Paradigm. The Vixen's Vault will be back with you again next week. My guest will be the members of Carolina Paranormal. We're going to go live with some interesting facts on their most recent investigation. I mean, stuff that they showed me evidence-wise, which actually floored me, which is really hard to do when it comes to the paranormal and evidence, because I am one of these people that even if I see it, I normally don't believe it. I'm looking for the glitch in the film that showed me that it's been edited. That's literally what I'm doing. But with that, hang in there. We will talk to y'all next week. Have a great evening. And again, thank you for joining us.